If you have your Bibles this morning, find, if you would, please, the fifth chapter of the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5 will be our text today. Ephesians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Please feel free to pick one up and to use it. Love for you to be able to follow along according to God's Word. If you got a couple of extras, you see somebody that doesn't have one, or you can open up your bulletin. The scripture is there inside. Our text is found in verse number 8. I'll read from verse 8 to verse 14 if you'll follow along with me. Ephesians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee," what class? "Light." We find ourselves in our message today on the fourth walk, concentrating on the fourth walk that the Apostle Paul is describing to the church at Ephesus, in declaration of how their lives are to be lived now as they are in the Lord Jesus. He has told them in chapter number 2 and verse number 10 that they have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. There is a walk about their life that has been ordained by God because of the work of Jesus Christ. We have been looking at the work of Christ in his redemption as a description of the great love of God. We find the theme of the book of Ephesians, really and truthfully, to be love. And we've entitled our series, "The Power of Love." And Paul is writing to this church to remind them of the power of love, of God's great love. And that is that truth, that God is love. He's great in his love. You see his great love in the work of redemption in the person of Christ. And Paul wanted them to know God's great love as the way he wants you to know God's great love. Because he knew that God's great love would greatly change their life. So we've been looking at the thought, the work of God changes the walk of the people of God. Our first walk that we mentioned was the worthy walk. This is a walk that's mentioned in chapter number 4, verse number 1. This is a walk befitting, as becoming something. This is a walk that you're saved to. This is a walk that you walk as befitting the calling or invitation of your life. This is a walk that knows the unity of the Spirit of God, that knows peace of God. This is a walk that demands a lowliness and a meekness in our lives, a long suffering and a forbearance of one another in love. This is a walk that really and truthfully exalts the love of God and shows the love of God so beautifully and so wonderfully. The worthy walk as becoming of being believers. Then in chapter number 5, verse 17, the second was the new walk. This is a different way in which you live. This is the walk that's not after the vanity of the unregenerate mind, but this is a walk that follows the renewal of the spiritual mind, as mentioned in chapter 4, verse number 23. My friends, before I was saved, I lived under the direction and influence and power of an unregenerate mind. This mind was moved off of my old nature. This mind was linked to the old man, that sinful man that dwells within each of us. But when I got saved and the Lord Jesus moved into my life, He not only brought to me His person, but He brought to me His nature. He not only brought to me His person and His nature, but He brought to me the ability to know His mind. That's why Paul would write in the book of Philippians, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." We have the ability now for our mind to be renewed in holiness and righteousness, renewed by the great agent of renewal. His name is the Holy Spirit of God. And Paul was letting these believers know that you no longer walk in a direction and a course of an unregenerate mind, but now you walk a new walk with a renewed mind, one that was created after God, verse 24, in righteousness and in true holiness. Paul would write to the church at Corinth, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things become new." I'm glad that God's love changed my life. If you are, say amen. Amen. The third walk that we looked at was found in the fifth chapter. It hinges off of the end of chapter number 4. "Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Paul would say, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." We'll talk about that in a moment. "And walk in love." We had the worthy walk, we had the new walk, and last week we looked at the love walk. This is the way that you and I are to live our lives. So opposite of the way the world lives its life and the way the old nature runs. Verses 3-7 of the same chapter. Paul cautioning the church not to be deceived in verse number 6 with vain words. "For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." And so he says, "Be ye not partakers with them." So Paul was letting this church know that, man, you have been saved by the wonderful work of redemption in the Lord Jesus, saved by faith through grace. That work has enabled you to a walk that was ordained before that you should walk this way. That walk would be a walk worthy as befitting of being a Christian, as becoming a Christian. It's a new walk in the renewal of your mind. It's a love walk that understands the love of God and is measured by God's love, as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us. By the way, the Bible says that the world will know that we are the children of God by how we love one another. My friend, your life should be described as a life of love, a life of God's love. And let me just say this, the love of God will thrill your soul. Sufficient unto every need that you have. And when the nature of Christ and the person of Christ moved into you, He brought the love of God within your heart. He enables that through the Spirit of God. And Paul wanted the church to know that our walk ought to be different than the world's walk. Our walk ought to be different than our prior walk. And our walk ought to be a walk in the love of God. It's great to be loved. I enjoy the love of my wife. It's great to know that I have a woman that loves me most of the time. It's great to know that no matter at the end of my day when I go home to children that love their dad. It's great to know that I go home to a house that loves. People will deny that they want to be loved, but I believe that it's within the human heart to be loved. Put as many layers of disguise and as many shelters of protection as you want around your life, but deep down in your heart, my friend, you know it and I know it and God knows it, you really want to be loved. Well, I got news for you. There's someone who loves you more than you can ever imagine. And his name is Jesus Christ. The fourth walk is a bright walk. It's a beautiful walk. It's a walk that I want to remind God's people today, and I so want to allure the unsaved person today to this walk. In chapter number 5, verse number 8, Paul is directing this church and reminding them that their walk is not only to be a walk of love, it's also to be a walk of light. You find in verse number 8, as Paul is describing this walk of light, he's reminding them that they can walk in the light because they are children of the light. We talked about this earlier as we were reading through the scriptures, that there was the children of disobedience. These things come upon them. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. Paul says, let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be ye not partakers with, say that word, class, them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Verse number 1 of chapter number 5, he says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. My friend, you are either a child of disobedience or you are a child of God. I was born a child of disobedience. I was born a child of enmity with God. I was born again to be a child of the living God. And Paul is exalting the preeminence and importance of light in the life of the believer. And he begins by contrasting them in their character. Verse number 8 is a contrast of character. He's reminding the saved individual that ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. This is a cataclysmic contrast. This is so huge as a contrast. Later, the Apostle Paul would write to the church at Corinth that there's no communion or fellowship between light and darkness. My friend, light and darkness cannot exist together. You cannot have them at the same time. Praise the Lord, light is more powerful than darkness. Darkness cannot overtake that chandelier. In order for darkness to overtake that chandelier, the light must go out. If that light does not go out, darkness will never overcome the light. You do not turn the dark on. You turn the light off. Light and darkness cannot exist. Now, praise God, when there's darkness, I tell my kids, turn the light on. And when they flip the switch and the electricity fills that room and illumines that bulb, light is forced to flee. It has to leave. It's overtaken unless there's a problem with the light. Now, the Apostle Paul is after their understanding. And he's contrasting the character of the saved man. And he says, you were sometimes in darkness, but now ye are light. How, class? Verse number 8. Ye are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And so he's letting them know the contrast of their character. Pastor, what does he mean in darkness? Look, if you would, please, at verse number 18 of chapter number 4. He's speaking about their spiritual understanding. He says in chapter 4, verse 18, speaking of the unsaved, ungodly person, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, Paul's telling these saved Christian people, this is how you used to be. You used to be in spiritual darkness. It wasn't that you were physically blind. It wasn't that you were per se unlearned or ignorant in the things of humanity, but your understanding was darkened. And that spiritual understanding was darkened because you were alienated from the life of God. I find this so prevalent in our society today. People don't understand spiritual truth. And everyone thinks themselves to be a spiritual guru. And everyone thinks themselves to have the spiritual answer. Well, I got news for you. There's one place you find spiritual answers. That's in the Word of God. And so you ask somebody, are you a believer? Are you a sinner? I'm not a sinner. Why aren't you a sinner? Well, I'm not a sinner because I haven't done A, B, C, or D. But nobody wants to see themselves as a sinner. They feel like they've got some spiritual light and some spiritual understanding that satisfies them. But Paul says, if you do not have the Holy Spirit of God living in you, then you do not have true spiritual understanding. And this is where I was before I was saved. And in my spiritual understanding was darkened because I was alienated from the Lord. And by the way, look at verse number 19. Character does affect conduct. In verse number 19, it says, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So Paul is describing the unregenerate mind here, and he's saying the unregenerate mind is void of spiritual truth. It thinks it has understanding, but that understanding is darkened because it doesn't have the Spirit of God. It's alienated from the life of God. And he says, based off of that mindset, people make decisions. Belief determines behavior. And so as people have an unregenerate mind and it's darkened, then from that mind comes our behavior. It goes like this. Don't forget what I'm about to tell you, because I'm talking to you about your spiritual character. Some people think that somehow I sinned and therefore I became a sinner. So when you ask them, are you a sinner? No, I'm not a sinner because I never did A, B, C, D, or E. And so they have this mindset. I've never done anything really bad. Therefore, I'm not a sinner. And they think that their deeds make them a sinner. My friend, listen, if you're out there and you think your deeds make you a sinner, you do not have Bible understanding. Here's what the Bible says. You are not a sinner because you sin. You sin because you are a sinner. Your deeds don't make you a sinner. Your deeds expose that you're already a sinner, John chapter 3. And so nobody ever sat me down and told me how to lie and cheat and curse and think dirty and say things and do all of this. My dad didn't sit me on his knee and say, Tommy, let me teach you how to do this. It just was within me. Why was that within me? Because my sinful nature was within me. And so the whole world thinks that they were born somehow good, and unless they do something bad, then they won't be considered a sinner. But the reality is, the whole world was born a sinner. And the very fact that that unholiness springs up out of our nature is evidence that we were born that way. So Paul's after their character. He says, now, Christian, you used to be like this, darkened in your understanding, void of that. But now, in the Lord, you are a child of light. And light has no fellowship with darkness. If you understand that, say amen. He goes on in verse number 9. In verse number 9, he reminds them that conduct is based off of character. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and in truth. And so Paul is reminding them that that in your character now, there's a vast difference between being light and being darkness. In darkness, those were the children of disobedience, but you're in the Lord. And there's no fellowship here between light and darkness. Go, if you would, please, to 1 John. It's all the way back in the back of your Bible. You must read these verses. 1 John chapter number 1 so beautifully declares this thought, so beautifully highlights the Lord. Please, please, these are precious verses to every person that is here. 1 John chapter number 1, look if you would please, in verse number 4. You got to go all the way back to the back of your Bible where the book of Revelation is, a couple of pages there. Don't misunderstand for the Gospel of John. John chapter 1. Verse number 4, John says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is," say it, class, "light. And in him is no darkness at all." That word darkness there is spiritual darkness. That word darkness there is sin, really. Verse number 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness," we do what, class? We lie, and we do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Would you make your way to the Gospel of John chapter 3, please? I beg you. Come left in your Bible. Come to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I want to show you what Jesus says about conduct when it comes to light and darkness. Go to the most famous passage in the Scripture, John chapter 3. Look, if you would, at verse number 17. Now, please listen, because what I just said earlier all ties into this Bible. Holy Spirit of God, turn the light on in people's hearts. Verse 17. "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be" what, class? Okay, so listen. Here's what Jesus says. God did not send me down here to damn you. That's what he said. I didn't come here to damn you. Verse 18. "He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned." Say it. Already. Whoa, already? "Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Stay with me. You are not a sinner because you sinned. A man sins because he is a sinner. Jesus said, "I didn't come down here to damn you. I came down here because you're damned already." What do you mean I'm damned already? Right. Because every one of us, if we trace our lineage back, we were born in the image of who? Adam. Adam was a sinner. Therefore, that sin was passed on to me. Therefore, I'm already in the condemnation, my friend. And that makes this time of year so wonderful, because in that condemnation, in my damned state, I was at enmity with God. Man, I was so separated in my darkness. And God would have been totally right just to say, "You deserve it." But he loved us. And he sent his Son into the world. Now, the next verses show the world's understanding of this act. Please look, if you would, at verse number 19. "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. And who's the light of the world, class? All right, so Jesus says, light has come into the world. And men loved darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth, say that word please, truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in who? God. Jesus says, listen, the person who has received me, they live in the light. They've come to the light. They love the light. They love the light of the world. They love the light of God. A person who wants nothing to do with light is afraid that his deeds are going to be exposed. And so when light came into the world had a choice. Either come to the light or run to the light. And Jesus said they made that choice based on how they wanted to live their life. And so if they wanted to live their life apart, away from God, they hid from the light. If they wanted redemption and salvation, they came to the light. But they had a choice in that light. Paul comes back to the church at Ephesus. And Paul says, now let's understand something here, saved person. In your character, you used to be in darkness. Now you're a child of the light in the Lord. And there's no communion between light and darkness. No agreement between light and darkness. Now, if the character of God is within you, then it affects the conduct that was in you. And Paul's letting them know as they live their life that they are to walk as children of the light. They are to walk, and the Bible says of itself in Psalm 119 that the Bible is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so Paul's teaching this, the saved people, that they ought to enjoy the light of the person of Christ. They ought to live freely in his presence. They ought to live wonderfully in the direction of the word of God. My friends, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I have light to see. I'm glad I know the truth. I'm glad that this light directs me in my eternality, man. This Bible shone a light on the fact that I was either going to go to heaven or I was going to go to hell, and I don't want to go to hell. And so the Lord flipped the light on in my life. This Bible shows the light on how I receive the Lord. It flips the light on and how I live my life. It's so great to walk in the light. You ever get up in the middle of the night and try to find the bathroom without turning the light on? How many toes have you broken from that walk? Stubbing our toe. Not only is there a conduct to this, but there's a convincing that goes on. Look, if you would, at verse number 10. Not only do we walk as children of the light, not only we better remember that the goodness and righteousness and truth that this light exposes, but there's a proving of what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. My friend, the conviction that you are a Christian is your conduct. Jesus said, by your fruit you are known. A Christian wants to be pleasing to the Lord. And Paul says, now as you guys are walking in the light, you're proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You're proving it in your own understanding. You're proving it as a testimony to the world. You're proving it as to the Lord, as to his presence in your heart. There is a conviction there. He's contrasting their character. He's showing that the light exposes character. Light will also bring about an exposure of the conduct. There's a convincing there. Now look, if you would, at verse number 14. Here's his great argument. Wherefore he saith. What's that word? Let's do it again. You have to wake up to say the word awake. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So hold your hand here. Would you make your way to the book of Romans, please? Romans chapter 13. I got a couple passages of scripture. I'm doing great on my time. I want to just let me read you some things and tell you a little story. Acts, Romans chapter 13. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, writing to Christian people, here's what he says. And that knowing the time, verse number 11, that now it is high time to, what's that word? Oh, are you there? 13:11. And that knowing the time, now it is high time to what, class? So he told the church at Ephesus, wake up. He's telling the church at Rome to wake up out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. That means Jesus could come at any moment. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Now watch this. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And let us put on the armor of what? Light. My dad told me when I was becoming to be the pastor of this church. He said, Tommy, the best thing I can tell you to do to protect yourself as the pastor is to put on the armor of light. What do you mean, Dad? Help me understand this. He said, Tom, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He said, light manifest. Light makes known. He said, to most people, light is intimidating. And he said, the reason that light, and he's talking about spiritual light, the reason spiritual light is intimidating is because it exposes your behavior. And he said, most men won't want anything to do with the light of God. He says, watch the women. And this happened to me one time. He said, watch the women who always want to be in the nursery and they never want to be in church. He said, watch the woman that always wants to work the food but never wants to sit in the pew. He said, always watch the people who will do anything not to come under the light of the preaching of the word of God. He said, because people that don't want the light of the preaching of the word of God are people that have something to hide. He said, now, son, you're going to be a leader. And he said, the devil's going to try to come after you, boy. He said, the best thing I can tell you to do is to learn how to live your life in the light of the glorious word of God. He said, Tommy, put on the armor of light. Walk in obedience to that word. Walk in the humbleness to that word. Let the light of the person of Christ illumine your way. Let the word of God illumine your way. He said, if you go after darkness, Tommy, it'll expose you. But learn to live in the light. Church, Paul was telling God's people, put on the armor of light. Light cannot have fellowship with darkness. I used to be in darkness, but I've been redeemed. Now I'm a child of the light. And by the way, it's so much better to walk with the light on. By this, shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. It's a light. Would you make your way to John chapter 8? This is the Gospel of John. I'll stop here. I could go on another day or two, but I'll quit here. John chapter 8. Let me tell you a story. Verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and he taught them. Scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery, right in the middle of it. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, tempting him that they may have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down. I like to think he started writing all their sin. That's not true. That's just my stupidity. And he wrote on the ground. Verse number 9, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself, and he saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus saith unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Read the last with me, please. Go, sin no more. Just let me catch up to speed. They hated Jesus. They wanted to trap him, so they set a trap. Takes two to tango. If you're having adultery, there's got to be a man somewhere. Man's not in the picture. He's part of the trap. They burst into that room. They grab that woman. They drag that woman. They throw that woman smack down at the feet of Jesus. And they say, we got her. Moses says we got to kill her. What do you say? Jesus never panics. Just kneels down and he begins to write in the dirt. He looks up at him and he says, I say, he who's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Goes back down and begins to write. So convicted in their conscience. They can't even stand it now. That hatred and that anger and that animosity that they had is so now exposed in that room that they have to leave the room. And there's that woman fearing for her life at the feet of Jesus, who at his word they would have killed her. And Jesus says, Ma'am, where are those thine accusers? She says, they're gone, Lord. And Jesus says, I don't accuse you either. I want you to go and I want you to sin no more. And then Jesus steps away from that moment and he looks at everybody around him and he says, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of what, class? Light and life go together. Jesus looked at them and said, I'm the light of the world. What did he do in that moment? The light of the world stood there and exposed everybody's heart. Everybody in the room got exposed by the light of God. Some hated the light because their deeds were evil. And they ran out of the room. and probably ran themselves right to hell. But there was a little woman there. And when the light exposed her sin, she didn't run away from the Lord. She ran to the Lord. And the Lord forgave that woman and sent her out of there with new life. My friends, we have a world that's filled and lost in the darkness of their sin. Somebody needs to turn the light on and let them know there is a Redeemer, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's the light of the world. Here's the problem. The church is to reflect the light of God. Paul knew that. Paul knew that that church at Ephesus was to light the world with the glory of the Lord. So Paul said this. Don't walk after darkness. Walk in the light. Light has no fellowship with darkness. You're not a child of darkness. You're a child of the light. Prove what is that acceptable unto the Lord. Wake up! Christ will give you light. He gives it in His person. He gives it in His word. He gives it in His spirit. My friend, it's a great privilege to walk in the light of God. Do you agree with that? Say amen. Okay, child of God, so let me ask you a question. Is there darkness in your life? You know, if I wanted to, I could be sinful and hide from you. Preachers do it all the time. They go to other states so they can be immoral. If I wanted to, I could hide my sin from my wife. If I wanted to, I could hide my sin from my kids. I'm not very smart, but I'm extremely sneaky. But I learned a long time ago that God is light. And what I can hide from humanity, I cannot hide from God. So I'm asking you, born again child of God, is God flipping the light on you right now? And God says, I know you're walking in darkness. I see it. I know it. I'm telling you, that's not in my character. That shouldn't be in your conduct. You need to come to the light. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. And you're in spiritual darkness and you're thinking, is there a way out? Yeah. The way out is the light of the world, and that's the Lord Jesus. But you have to be born into His family. Shall we pray?